Another big California-based bank facing really can't be called anything but an investor panic. Shares of Silicon Valley Bank. Stock closed down today 60%. It is down another 28% after hours, meaning 24-hour decline more than 70%. Now, yesterday, crypto-focused bank Silvergate Capital said it was shutting down, liquidating. So what exactly is going on with some of these big banks, particularly in California? It could be the sign of a bigger issue.
Founders Fund, which a key VC player is advising that its own companies should withdraw funds from Silicon Valley Bank. Now, we know the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank has been out there trying to reassure clients as to what the stock drop means, what the conservation of its capital at the moment is trying to signify. But ultimately, we are going to see some concerns being built if Founders Fund are indeed advising their own portfolio companies to withdraw funds from SVB.
Once these things start, this is a classic bank run. And when the bank run starts, you don't want to be the last guy there and wondering what happened. Unfortunately, this is the way banks work. They rely on trust. When they lose that trust, bad things really will happen.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk about the emerging crisis that's going on in the banking sector. As you've just seen from the start of this video, Silicon Valley Bank experienced a 60% fall in its share price on Thursday, the 9th of March. And unfortunately for Silicon Valley Bank, it looks likely that the share price is going to remain under immense pressure due to the fact that one of the leading players in the world of venture capital has come out and advised all of his clients to withdraw all of their money from the bank. And there's now a very serious possibility that there could be a run on the bank. If all of the clients of SVB try to withdraw all of their money simultaneously, that will drive the bank into liquidation because SVB simply doesn't have enough available cash to be able to make all of those payments. It's got lots of its capital tied up in longer term assets. And if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that this is the second major US-based bank that's facing a liquidity crisis. Within the last couple of days, Silvergate Capital, which was founded back in the 1980s, announced that it was going into liquidation following the withdrawal of more than 50% of all of the deposits that it was holding and the incurrence of losses of more than $1 billion in quarter four 2022. So in today's video, we'll have a look at exactly what's causing all of these problems at Silicon Valley Bank. We'll also have a look at what happened to Silvergate Bank, and then I'll go on to talk about whether or not this could be a black swan event that is the start of a new global financial crisis. Are we starting to see the dominoes falling, or are these just one-off events that are specific to these two individual banks? Silicon Valley Bank was founded 40 years ago in 1983 by Bill Biggerstaff and Robert Medeiros, who reportedly came up with the idea over a game of poker. The bank was created to service the growing venture capital market in the USA and was designed to provide a specialist financial institution to hold all of the large deposits that small companies were receiving from venture capital investment. The concept was well received amongst the venture capital community, and in 1988, the company completed an IPO onto NASDAQ and raised $6 million. The business expanded across the whole of the USA in the 1990s, and in 2001 acquired Palo Alto investment banking firm Allianz Partners for $100 million. In 2002, the bank expanded its private banking business, and in 2004 opened its first international branches in London and Bangalore, and went on to open offices in Beijing and Israel. As at the end of December 2022, Silicon Valley Bank employed more than 8,500 people, had offices in 11 countries worldwide, had issued $74 billion worth of loans, held $212 billion worth of assets, and was holding $342 billion of client funds. So where did it all go wrong, and why is everybody now wanting to remove their money from Silicon Valley Bank? One of the reasons that Silicon Valley Bank has been so successful is that it's become the go-to banking partner for early stage businesses. And it was recently reported by Fortune.com that the bank has a relationship with more than 50% of all venture-backed companies in the USA. And venture or private equity funds make up approximately 56% of the bank's global banking portfolio. Now, the vast majority of these companies are early stage and are therefore pre-profit, so they don't tend to have any debt facilities. They receive investment in the form of equity from venture capital firms, and therefore they are cash rich. So these companies sit with cash on their balance sheet, in their bank accounts, and then run that cash down over a period of time by paying their staff, marketing, and investing into research and development and technology. Now, as a result of this dynamic, Silicon Bank's financial profile benefits from an abundance of client funds, which includes on-balance sheet deposits and off-balance sheet client investment funds. And instinctively, you may be thinking that that shouldn't be a problem. If the bank is sitting with lots of cash, then it should be in a very healthy situation. But actually, having too much cash can be a problem for banks because they need to make a return on that capital. They need to be earning more than they're paying their clients in deposit interest. And the problems at Silicon Valley Bank actually started in 2021 when it saw a massive influx in deposits, which increased from around $62 billion at the end of 2019 to $189 billion at the end of 2021. So an increase of almost $130 billion in 2 years. The traditional way that banks make money from customer deposits is by lending that money to other companies and charging them a higher rate of interest than they're paying on the deposit interest. But Silicon Valley Bank had two problems with regards to this. Firstly, the majority of its customers were not eligible for these sort of loans because they were early stage companies that were not making a profit and therefore were being funded by equity, not debt. And secondly, the huge influx of cash deposits that it had meant that it was impossible to be able to lend anywhere near that amount. So in order to try to make a return on this capital, Silicon Valley Bank turned to the capital markets. But unfortunately, the period that it received all this additional cash coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic. And during the pandemic, interest rates were dropped to their lowest levels in history to keep the economy ticking over. So that meant that it became quite difficult to be able to earn a meaningful yield. So due to the fact that short-term interest rates were very low, Silicon Valley Bank looked to the longer-term markets. And the bank purchased over $80 billion of mortgage-backed securities. This portfolio of bonds had a weighted average yield of 1.56%, and the average term of these bonds was more than 10 years. And the plan with this type of investment is to hold these assets until maturity. Now, as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, over the course of the last 12 months or so, we have seen inflation causing problems in most economies around the world. And in order to counter that inflation, central banks started to increase interest rates. And in the USA, interest rates have increased from 0.25% to 4.75%, which is a massive increase in a short space of time. And it's this movement in interest rates that's caused a major problem for Silicon Valley Bank, because interest rates have an inverse relationship to the price of bonds. When a bond is issued, the interest rate on that bond is fixed, and it'll be appropriate to the current market conditions. So if we look at the portfolio that Silicon Valley Bank have invested in as an example, the bank bought mortgage-backed securities that have an average yield of 1.56%. So for every $100 bond that the bank is holding, it will be paid $1.56 in interest every year. Now, because the current rate of interest is 4.75%, if you were to buy a bond in the market today, you could get a yield of around 4.75%. So your $100 bond would pay you $4.75. So to achieve the same annual interest of $1.56 that Silicon Valley Bank is receiving on its bonds, you would only need to buy around $32 worth of bonds in the current market. So this is why there's an inverse relationship between interest rates and bond prices. When interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And that is the major problem for Silicon Valley Bank, because they've invested over $80 billion of their customers' money into long-term bonds that have a yield of 1.56%. And the value of those bonds today is significantly below $80 billion. Now, over the long term, this wouldn't be a problem. If Silicon Valley Bank could wait until all of these bonds matured, then they would receive back the full $80 billion. Because a bond is settled at par, you receive back your $100 from the original $100 that you invested. But if Silicon Valley Bank can't afford to wait for another 10 years for those bonds to mature, and they have to sell them in the market, that's when you start incurring losses. And that's exactly what's happening at Silicon Valley Bank right now. Due to the fact that a large number of customers had asked for their money to be returned, Silicon Valley Bank were forced to sell some of the bonds that they're holding, and that's meant that they've incurred huge losses. The bank has announced that they've sold $21 billion of their available-for-sale securities at a loss of $1.8 billion. And as a result of this, the bank has announced that it needs to raise $2.25 billion in equity and debt. Now, this news came as a total surprise to investors who were under the impression that the bank had enough liquidity to avoid selling any of their available-for-sale securities. And the portfolio is seriously underwater as it yields an average of 1.79% compared to the current 10-year Treasury yield of 3.9%. As mentioned at the start of the video, Peter Thiel, who's a German-American entrepreneur who has a net worth of over $8 billion and created the venture capital fund Founders Fund, has asked all of its portfolio companies to move their funds away from Silicon Valley Bank. In addition to this, Coatue Management, Union Square Ventures, and Founder Collective have also advised their portfolio companies to pull money. And Canon, another major VC firm, told its portfolio companies to remove their cash on an as-needed basis. It was reported that the Founders Fund stated that over the long term, we don't believe that deposits are likely at risk, but the shorter term is harder to predict. Gary Tan, the president and CEO of Y Combinator, warned its network of startups that solvency risk is real and implied they should consider limiting their exposure to SVB. He posted a note stating, "We have no specific knowledge of what's happening at SVB, but anytime you hear problems of solvency in any bank, and it can be deemed credible, you should take it seriously and prioritize the interests of your startup by not exposing yourself to more than $250,000 of exposure." He added, "Your startup dies when you run out of money for whatever reason." Venture firm Tribe Capital have also advised its portfolio companies to move some, if not all, of their balances from the bank. What's important to understand is that banks all have leverage and they use deposits. So almost by definition, any bank with a business model is dead if everybody moves, Tribe co-founder Arjun Sethi told portfolio companies. Since risk is non-zero and the cost is tiny, better to diversify your risk, if not all. Another firm, Activant Capital, sent emails and texts to its portfolio company CEOs, encouraging them to transfer their SVB balances to other lenders, and is helping some move capital to First Republic Bank. Silvergate Bank was founded in 1988 in California as a traditional bank. However, in 2013, the chief executive, Alan Lane, invested in Bitcoin and decided to launch an initiative to start servicing cryptocurrency clients. The bank developed a strong niche providing corporate services to all of the cryptocurrency businesses and attracted in names such as Genesis, Gemini, Coinbase, and Kraken. And Silvergate's flagship product was called the Silvergate Exchange Network, which allowed all of its cryptocurrency clients to exchange cryptocurrency for US dollars round the clock on a 24/7 basis. So essentially what Silvergate was doing was acting as a real-world bridge between the cryptocurrency clients and the markets. When companies such as Coinbase signed up a new customer who gave them US dollars and wanted to buy Bitcoin, Coinbase would then place those US dollars on deposit with Silvergate so that it had that cash in reserve. And when the customers then decided that they wanted to cash in Bitcoin and take back their dollars, Coinbase would go back to Silvergate, ask for the dollars, and then pass those dollars on to the customers. So Silvergate has been working with the big corporates in the world of cryptocurrency, offering crypto deposits and also real-world US dollar deposits. And as the world of cryptocurrency got bigger and more exciting and attracted in more investment, Silvergate's value started to rise. And in 2019, Silvergate listed onto the New York Stock Exchange, selling its shares in an initial public offering at $12 each, which valued the business at around $230 million. Now, as the crypto markets went up and the price of Bitcoin went through the roof, so did the share price of Silvergate. And at one point, the shares were trading for $220 each, which valued the bank at around $4.2 billion. However, unfortunately, the events in the cryptocurrency markets over the last 12 months have had a detrimental impact on Silvergate's value and also its viability. Publication of Silvergate's results for the quarter ending December 2022 revealed that the company had made a net loss of $1 billion in the quarter compared to profit of $18 million in the previous quarter. And this loss was due directly to a run on the company's assets. In the 3 months ending December 2022, customers withdrew over $15 billion from Silvergate accounts, which represented more than 50% of its total assets. Silvergate's interest-bearing deposits decreased by $6.9 billion, or 52%, to leave the bank with only $6.3 billion on deposit, and non-interest-bearing deposits fell by $8.2 billion to leave only $3.9 billion in the bank, representing a fall of 61%. And the reason that Silvergate posted such a monumental loss is that it had been putting all of the cash that had been given by all of its corporate customers into federal bonds. So rather than just holding the cash, Silvergate wanted to make a return on that capital. But the problem that Silvergate has encountered is that over the last 12 months, we have seen a material increase in interest rates. And when interest rates go up, the price of bonds go down. So what Silvergate has experienced over the course of the last 12 months is that all of the money that it's placed into US government bonds has fallen in terms of the current market value. And because all of these customers are now demanding their money back, Silvergate have been forced to sell those bonds in the market to get the cash and therefore have crystallized huge losses. And the details of this situation are included in the quarterly posting. In order to accommodate sustained lower deposit levels and to maintain a highly liquid balance sheet, Silvergate sold $5.2 billion of debt securities for cash proceeds during quarter four of 2022. And this sale resulted in a loss on the sale of those securities of $751 million in the quarter. In addition to that loss, the company also recorded a $134.5 million impairment charge related to an estimated $1.7 billion of securities it expects to sell in the first quarter of 2023 to reduce its borrowings. Now, as a direct result of the financial difficulties, Silvergate decided to discontinue its Silvergate Exchange Network, which was the 24/7 payment system offered to all of its corporate customers. And as a direct result of that announcement, a variety of cryptocurrency businesses, including Coinbase and Galaxy Digital, have announced that they have dropped Silvergate as their banking partner. Silvergate Capital has now released the following statement announcing its intention to wind down operations and voluntarily liquidate the bank in an orderly manner and in accordance with applicable regulatory processes. In light of recent industry and regulatory developments, Silvergate believes that an orderly wind down of bank operations and a voluntary liquidation of the bank is the best path forward. The bank's wind down and liquidation plan includes full repayment of all deposits. The company is also considering how best to resolve claims and preserve the residual value of its assets, including its proprietary technology and tax assets. So this is obviously catastrophic news for the investors in Silvergate Bank. At one point, this bank was valued at more than $4 billion. But it also represents seriously bad news for the crypto markets. Firstly, because all of the cryptocurrency businesses have now lost their banking relationship. These companies were previously using Silvergate to store all of their real world dollars. But secondly, there's also the issues of contagion and confidence. All financial markets have interconnectivity. So when a company fails, it will have a ripple effect. It will have a knock-on impact to other businesses. So the failure of Silvergate will cause problems for other companies. But over and above that, in the world of crypto particularly, confidence is a key issue. And when investors see things like Silvergate Bank going into liquidation, that causes concerns. People start to become worried that crypto is imploding, and that will lead to further withdrawals. One of the reasons that Silvergate failed was because a lot of investors wanted to take their money out of crypto. So they were asking their exchanges to give them back their dollars. Those exchanges then asked Silvergate to return all of its dollars, and that forced Silvergate to sell all of the bonds, which were sitting at a loss, and therefore resulted in Silvergate losing over $1 billion in Q4 2022. The failure of Silvergate is likely to accelerate more withdrawals and so could cause problems for other crypto businesses over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the failure of one bank is big news, but the failure of two banks within a few days of each other, both of which are based in the USA, is really big news. And this could potentially be a warning sign that we've got bigger problems in the wider financial sector. Now, both of the banks that we've talked about in today's video are specialist banks. Silicon Valley Bank has cornered the market for early stage venture capital companies. And because these businesses are early stage and cash consumptive, they tend to be cash rich. They receive a large investment of cash equity, which they then deposit in the bank and use to pay all of their bills. And Silvergate Bank has similar characteristics. It focused in on providing services to corporates working in the cryptocurrency markets. And those businesses also had large amounts of cash, which they'd taken from their customers in exchange for the issuance of cryptocurrencies. So the overall dynamic of both of these banks is very similar. They've got large amounts of cash deposits. And that actually is a problem for a bank because you need to do something with that cash. You need to make a return on the money so that you can make some profit over and above the interest that you're paying to the depositors. And over the last couple of years, it's been difficult to find investments that provide a high yield because interest rates fell to the lowest levels in history and therefore yields were very, very low. So in order to try to hunt down some form of yield, both of these banks sought out the longer term bond markets. But the problem that they've experienced is that now all of the customers have asked for their money back. Their capital is tied up in these long-term bonds, which have fallen in value due to the fact that interest rates have risen so rapidly over the last 12 months. So these two banks have actually become victims of their own success. They were so successful in attracting in deposits that it meant that they had too much cash. They couldn't actually find anywhere to invest that cash that was going to give them a meaningful return. They stuck it into long-term investments and have now been caught out because their customers want their money back. And the only way that both of these banks can get the capital back is by cashing in all of their bonds, which are now trading at significant losses. And this situation has resulted in the closure of Silvergate Bank. It's now in liquidation, and there are major question marks over Silicon Valley Bank. But the bigger question is, are there other financial institutions around the world that are in a very similar situation to these two banks? And the answer to that is obviously yes. Banks and financial institutions are constantly looking for ways to make a return on their capital. And over the course of the last couple of years, it's been very difficult to be able to find anything that provides a meaningful yield. So every single banking institution has been taking on lower yielding assets over the last couple of years. And as we've seen this huge increase in interest rates, that's now causing them all problems in terms of valuing those assets. So it's extremely likely that banks and institutions are now sitting with large portfolios of investments that are out of the money. And if they're forced to cash those portfolios in, that means that they'll have to crystallize losses in exactly the same way as Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank. So what's the likelihood of other banks and institutions also seeing a run on their assets? Well, as mentioned at the start of this video, the whole banking and financial sector is based on trust. You trust your bank to be able to look after your money and to give it back to you as and when you need it. If you wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly decide that you don't trust your financial institution and you want to take all of your money out, then you can do that. But if everybody else wakes up with the same thought, then that could cause a run on that bank. And the problem with runs is that they are contagious. As soon as you hear that people are taking their money out of your bank, you want to remove all of your money because you don't want to be the last guy when that bank has run out of cash. Now, all around the world, there are protection schemes in place. So most countries have rules and regulations whereby an element of your deposits will be protected. So it might be up to $250,000, for example. But if you're a corporate and you've got 5 or 10 or 20 million on deposit with that bank, 250,000 is a drop in the ocean. And that's what's happened with Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank. They're mostly banking corporates, and those corporates became concerned about the lack of liquidity. And to a certain extent, that's what happened with Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers back in 2008 at the start of the global financial crisis. Back at that time, it was assumed that the problems encountered by those two banks were specific to those two entities. However, those problems quickly spread throughout the sector, and we then saw the biggest financial crisis for over 50 years unfold all around the world. Now, as it stands at the moment, the problems being experienced by Silicon Valley Bank and Silvergate look specific to those two banks. However, there is definitely a risk that this could be the start of something bigger. We could see contagion, we could see a domino effect, we could see a general loss of confidence all around the world in the banking and financial sector, as we're seeing in the crypto markets. And if that does happen, then there is a real possibility that we could see more runs on more banks, more failures, and that could start a domino effect all around the world. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. You found it useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.